night. Beth asked me this morning. She came over and delivered some Sunday school stuff to Mom. And she asked me, said, what's the message about? And I said, things. The message is about things. So what are things? And there's many uses of the word things. And I found this definition from the dictionary that I thought was really pretty good. I liked the way it was worded. An object that one need not, cannot, or does not wish to give a specific name to. Look at that metal thing over there. Now, our Bible uses the word thing or things, and it has a wide range of use. It could be an action, like in Matthew 19, it says, what good thing shall I do? It could be a request of an object or an action. In Matthew 20, it says, in desiring a certain thing of him. It could be a question. Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing. A more concrete use refers to objects. In Matthew 24, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. It could also refer to a way or means of doing something. In Mark 1, it says, and they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. The Bible tells us that things come into us and things go out of us. In Mark 7, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. There is no thing that God doesn't know about. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now that ought to, there's some verses in the Bible that man ought to just stop us in our tracks. That's one of them. Thing could be referring to what you say. In Luke 12, it said, when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Sometimes the word is used in direct reference to a person. John 1:46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Romans 9:20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? A thing can be something you think about. In Acts 5:4, it says, and Ananias and Sapphira, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? There are good things and there's bad things. Luke 10:42, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Speaking of that part with Mary and Martha and Jesus coming in. Romans 7:18, it says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The thing can be your job responsibilities. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. There are things that are clear of conscience and not clear of conscience. Romans 14:14 says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. There are spiritual things, and there are carnal things. 1 Corinthians 9:11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? There are things that belong to man, and things that belong to God. Matthew 22:21, they said unto him, saith unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, you know, all things belong to God. But there is one thing that God has given up possession on. That is the will of man. In other words, he gives us the choice to believe on him or not, to obey him or not, to live for him or not. But what is not your choice is the consequence of your actions. That is why all men suffer today, because of the sin through the will of man that we choose. It was our choice and our consequence to bear, and you can't say you were not warned. Perhaps the most straightforward use of the word things has to do with, and I'm kind of focusing in today, are the basic needs of life. Luke 22:35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. The word thing, or things in the Bible, refers to many things. This afternoon I want to preach a message entitled, What Things Are You Talking About? Let's pray. Father, as we delve into your word, and as we've introduced the thought of things, our life revolves around things. And help us to see the importance of those things. Let us consider those things in our life, Lord God. They are so important. And may we see things maybe in a way we haven't thought of before. Maybe it'll dig a little deeper in our lives than we've been willing to look before. May we be changed by what is preached today, by what the Holy Spirit tells us in our life. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me begin the message with a couple of questions. Let me see, am I on? Okay. What things do you have, and why do you have them? What things do you want, and why do you want them? There's some deep questions, but they reveal a lot about us. That is, if we're going to be truthful, really be truthful with ourselves. Americans don't lack for things. Just look at the amount of storage sheds going up around us. I mean, if you want a business, I mean, that's a good business, because that's man. It's just going to keep growing like that. Storage sheds, storage sheds, storage sheds. It's interesting to look at our homes, and now I'm going to start to dig a little here. Let's look at our homes and garages and learn from the things we have stockpiled. They tell a story about us. In addition to the things we have are the things that we would like to have. You can take an inventory of that. A new house, a new car, new clothes, new shoes, new curtains, a new gun, a new boat, a new glove, new furniture, new hairdo, new nails, a tattoo. But lest we forget, there are other also like non-concrete forms of things, like things we want to do, places we want to go, things we want to learn, a book or a movie we want to read, people we want to meet, things we would like to see or say. It's not so much the thing or things that are a problem in our lives. Let's take, for instance, a brand new million-dollar home. I tried to think of something that everybody could kind of relate to. For some people, it can be a good thing. Nothing wrong with it. For others, it's a bad thing to have a million-dollar home. Obviously, it's bad to have something you really can't afford. But even for those who have plenty of money that could afford a million-dollar home, to one, it may be a right thing. For the other, a wrong thing. The Bible states in Romans 14:14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient, the best, or the best example all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, kind of talks about addictions and things that have control over us. And we have them. It's not just drugs. Mark 7:15, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Thank you. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. So as long as you can have a clear conscience about something, as long as that thing does not offend somebody else or is an addiction, or as long as the thing you take into your heart and soul does not come out wrong in your mouth and actions, the thing is okay. However, if we think deeply about these, it can condemn many things we like to justify in our lives. But even if the thing we have in our life is acceptable to God, or even needful, like eating or sleeping or exercising, they are really the empty calories, you might say. They're inert or vain, sometimes the Bible uses. True that they have an important purpose, but they are not to be the focus of our life. That's not what we're to go after. I mean, the Bible tells you, you know, your shoes and your shirt and your clothes and all those things. Those aren't the things of the focus. The Bible is clear. There are good things. There are bad things. There are spiritual things, and there are carnal things. There is the flesh, and there is the spirit. They are opposites, and they war against each other. You see, the question I asked at the beginning of the message, what things do you have, and why do you have them, and what things do you want, and why do you want them, have two edges. There is the thing or the object, and what is just as important is the motivation behind the thing. For it to be acceptable in the sight of God, it must be an acceptable object and an acceptable motive behind the object. For instance, if you knew somebody needed a laugh, they just needed some levity, and you tell them a dirty joke, it may have the right motive, but it's the wrong thing. Suppose you do the dishes, but you have a resentful attitude about it. Any of the kids around here? Right thing, wrong motive. But if you did those dishes joyfully to please your mother, which pleases God, it is right, right. We need to be very discerning about the things of life, and the Bible guides us very well in these areas, more than maybe you realize. Number one, do you work for you or do you work for others? Is your motivation to give or to get? Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more. Hey, when we weren't saved, we were thieves. That's how we act. Brother Mike was talking today. You know, we're looking in Revelation, and probably the biggest thing, hardest to understand, and I'm with Mike on this thought too. How can somebody see this and go through that and still not turn away from their wicked ways? But really, you think about it. Look at the first generation man before Noah. All their thoughts were continually evil. You go on time and time again. People talk about, well, why would God kill the people in Canaan? Hey, they were just like that. If you look, God just doesn't bring out a lot of deed. You've got to search for it. But man, those people were flat out wicked. How could you not trust God when you see the Red Sea open and people walk through and they're coming to your place and you're going to fight that? Only one little family there, Rahab, her family, figured it out. How could they not? I mean, you could go on and on and on, but then you can say to the devil who was in heaven, who has seen God's glory, who's been a part of it, who was created by him, how could he ever go away from that? I don't understand, but there is. There is. How do you receive things in life? Even the very simplest things. John was just talking about this today, hot water. Or just water itself. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was watching a video recently when I was sick and you guys were all having fun out there. I watched the movies that Mom hates to watch, documentaries and stuff. And it was about the Trail of Tears, about the Cherokee Nation being moved out west to Oklahoma and Arkansas. And there's something about that came out in that movie about the Indians that I thought was really impressive. They knew the Creator. Now, their worship was off. You know, really, when Europe came over, the gospel came with it and defined who that was for them. But one thing they did in their religion is they were very thankful. They went to great extents realizing what nature, what all was given to them. And they went to great extents to be thankful. I thought that was pretty amazing. I see in us that we take things for granted. We just do. We've just been so blessed. You know what we call little kids who feel like their parents owe them things and demand things of them? Brats. Things not given thanks for really are not worthy for us to have. You know, a good way for someone to learn to be appreciative of something and to give humble thanks is not only to stop giving them what they want, take away what they have. God gave warning to those who have much. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. A man to whom God giveth riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. There are some that may have more things than others, but it cannot come without a snare. There are some that have riches, but not the power to enjoy them. You better be careful about some of these things. Are you seeking the reward, or are you seeking the good and right regardless of reward? It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Isn't that usually our conversation? What are we going to do today? Where are we going to go eat? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, the ones who don't know God. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wouldn't it be a great thing if we wake up in the morning and say, hey, who are we going to go talk to? Who are we going to go tell about the Lord? What are we going to pray about today? Continuing in the text, the things you do, are they done by the moment, in the moment, performing in the moment? Take therefore no thought for the morrow, to the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Not only is there the evil, but there's the opportunity. We have one day at a time. I've heard it time and time from several of you, you know, God put on my heart to just send that little note or that message. Sometimes you're successful in it, and later on God shows you how important that was. Other times you let it go. What things are you letting into your heart? 1 John chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and becometh unfruitful. I was just watching a movie last night. It was a Christian man play cricket for South Africa. Hansi was his name. And he was a strong Christian, or portrayed as a very strong Christian, and he was making a real mark in the world. It's all based on a true story. But the India had infiltrated him in the betting world and got to him about fixing games for the betting world and getting money for it. He had no reason to do it, but the deceitfulness of riches. And it's kind of interesting because the Indian said, we got him. Because he had left a gift. Even though he said, no, I won't do it at first. He said, they always do that. They never give back the money. They keep it. Better be careful of things. And you don't want anything that God doesn't want you to have. And all things, whichever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Do you have a list of things needed to do the job God has called you to do? You know something? Just like the things you have stored in your house, garage, and storage units say something about you, your prayers. Go to your prayer closet, and it will tell you a story about you. The Bible teaches us that God will give us everything we need to do His work that we are called to do. Depending on the job you have, physical or spiritual, you need proper tools, don't you, Brother Mike? We were working with your saw that you want to throw out. I could see why you want to throw that thing away. It's kind of the miter saw. It's kind of, could be a little aggravating. Much what I have are tools and supplies to do work. That, like if I go like look at the stuff I have. Work that really comes out of the enjoyment and benefit for others. Get ready to get rid of that stuff. But I have some tools that were a bad purchase because I never really used it like I thought. Some things I have are toys. I suppose the distinguishing difference between a tool and a toy is whether it's for pleasure of others or for your pleasure. Sometimes they can kind of be mixed together. I have a set of golf clubs. Yeah, I enjoy that, but it's also something I can do with other people. The problem sometimes is you don't have a legitimate list of things to ask God for because you don't know Him well enough to know what He wants you to do. All you know is what you want to do. David was given a lot by God. Think about that. But he was a man after God's own heart. Solomon was given an exceeding amount of riches and things. But what did he ask God for? Wisdom. The ability to use whatever he had for the benefit of others. That's what impressed God. He asked for the thing to know how to use things properly. That's pretty wise. Are you overstoring? Are you trying to create self-sufficiency or security? Or selfish endeavors. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And you know the story. And he was building up everything so he could take. He says, and he said this, will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, so that he could rest in ease. Now, Joseph in the Old Testament did the same thing. Same thing, stored up. His motive, through God's leaving, what he realized was to save much people alive. Two different motives. So it is not the thing in the case, but let's look at the rich man's motive. I will say unto my soul, soul thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, this is a snare for many people, even good people. I realized, you know, I got out of debt very early in life. I just knew God laughed at me. I think He knew my heart, but I didn't have things really figured out. I did get out of debt because I thought I could do whatever I want to do then. I don't have to be forced to work this. Nah, I figured it out. God allowed me to do that. so I could even work harder and do more things I ever thought I could do, to give more than I ever thought I could give. It wasn't for me. But sometimes if we're kind of trying to do this to make it better for us, we better watch about that thing. You know, that's the heart of retirement in this world. But if you notice, many people die on the job trying to give more. Others do not prepare, while others who are well prepared are lost in what to do with their time. Or suffer because they become alone. They don't have people like they did before. Retirement in the strict worldly sense is ungodly. Redirection to serve others in a way that you could not before, to open up a job opportunity for you to step out and somebody else can step in and make some better money. To be more available to those in need, to focus more on important relationships that are in its latter stages, to further establish a legacy that will be fruitful beyond your life. That's a godly retirement. But God said unto them, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now listen to me carefully here. What things do you think of? Romans 8:5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Remember, those are opposing things. There is great overcoming power in this verse. Want a successful diet plan? It's taken me a long time to figure this out. Don't focus on food. Get busy. Focus on work. It takes the mind off of food. Work and hard play is a natural appetite suppressant. Stay busy up to your bedtime. Fall asleep reading your Bible. You got two hands on your Bible, hard to put food in your mouth. Keeps your mind off of snacks. I'm guilty of this stuff, so I know what I'm talking about here. Ever notice that busy kids outside don't like to be called in for lunch or supper? Not because they're hungry. They don't recognize they're hungry. They're just too busy with something else. They got their mind over here. This is true for battling anything that is bad in your life. Don't try to battle the bad. Focus on the good thing. And the bad thing cannot exist when you're in the good thing. Good and bad, right and wrong, flesh and spirit cannot coexist. I had the thought of, man, there's probably some good bumper sticker that we could make. You know, you see those coexist things. Well, this one, you could have a different kind of coexist, a non-coexist. You know, those things are like polar opposites. They're like, you ever try to put those magnets when the positive and the positive, and they don't go together? That's how those things are. What crowd and lifestyle do you associate with? This is a choice regardless of your wealth and social status. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, don't mind the proud, lofty life of the rich and famous. Run with the humble. Be as one of them, regardless of the things and the riches that can give you and can take you to places. Now, there was an opera singer, Jenny Lind, who was considered one of the highest regarded singers of the 19th century. She was the Taylor Swift of today. People say that she was kind of like, so you know who she is and what she is. Unlike Taylor Swift, her appearance was simple, plain, and her performance was with decency. She was equally known for her charity giving. As much as she could sing, and it was amazing. She was known as much for that as her charity giving. She was given the honoring title of the Swedish Nightingale. It would appear that Jenny Lind let her life condescend to that of service and humility. or she could go get the Super Bowl suite. She could take her clothes off and sing and show things. But you can be good at what you do, but how you handle your life, what you do, and your lifestyle is important. Are the things you do honest? Are the things you have come by honestly? There's a lot of ways to be dishonest today. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Is the things you are involved in a result of peace and build up others? Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, how when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying, to build up others. They weren't doing it for that. Are the things you do and have age appropriate? 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is referring to the tongues and different things that would disappear one time. But they're just using a basic principle. You grow up. Sometimes adults have problems growing up. Letting go of selfish things. Taking on increased responsibilities. It is said of some men that they go through the midlife crisis. Instead of letting go of the things of their youth, they reach back and try to grab them to fulfill their youthful lust. Are your things decent, orderly, with love as the motivation? Let all things be done decently and in order, in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done with charity, with love. When things are sitting around collecting dust and rotting, when they are disorganized and wasteful, using up good space, when you trip over them, can't find anything. And I'm starting to meddle now, ain't I? Meddling with me anyway. But just saying, what are your things telling you? Here are a few more verses discerning the things of your life. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Are you looking at the things of others too? Yeah, you're supposed to take care of yourself. It doesn't say you avoid you, but you're supposed to look on other people. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So what things are we talking about? Everything about our lives. Why is the message urgent and important? Number one, folks, and that's why I'm here. That's why God put me here, to warn us. There's a time of reckoning coming. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Excuse me. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we all must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're headed to that judgment seat. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here's another reason. Number two, for a Christian, our life, the life that overcomes anything and everything this world can throw at us, a life that brings meaning and fulfillment, that trumps fun with joy, that trades temporal for eternal, that thrives in giving and serving, to do the job we have been created to do instead of being an abused tool. And if anybody who's worked with tool, we know how to abuse a tool. That's what people who don't follow God are, abused tools. So you go around and use some pliers for hammers and whatever. All these things of our life have to do with the goodness and greatness of our life. Colossians 3:3 says, for ye are dead, speaking to the one who is saved. You're now dead from that, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Number three, if you are not a Christian, Philippians 3:18-19 says, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, who God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. You know, there's only one thing that stands between you and heaven and the complete filling of your life. Jesus gave this to the rich young ruler. He said to the rich young ruler, asked Jesus what he had to do to have eternal life. Jesus gave him one thing to do. Mark 10:21, he said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And you say, well, he said one thing, but he gave him a list of things to do. He told him to return, told him to sell everything, give the proceeds to the poor, go back to Jesus, embrace the sacrifices required in your new life, and follow Jesus' commands. But Jesus said there's one thing. So what is the one thing? Jesus is saying the one thing is to believe on him. The specifics of what Jesus might have us to do, who can tell? But all these things stem from only one thing, to believe on him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Like Brother Mike was saying, you know, he came to a point where I had to give everything to trust him. Can't hold anything back. To believe on him because what he did for you on the cross makes him worthy, folks. And to be trusted as the one and only Lord of your life. I mean, what God did for there gives you every reason to trust him, no matter what if he tells you to sell everything, if that's what he asks you to do, and give to the poor. Whatever it is, it'll be the right thing because you truly believe. That's the one thing. From that one thing is created the trust to do anything he asks us to do. But the rich young ruler, it is recorded, instead of joyfully believing on Jesus and following him, he went away sad and lost. He's really telling God that he will not have him to rule over him. He just does not believe in Jesus. How about you? Jesus knows exactly what this ruler's hang-up would be to be following him. He loved his riches. It says it, but he had many things he wasn't willing to give up. What might be your hang-up? What is God telling you that you're hanging on to that is keeping you from being saved? Sometimes it could be, I mean, Jesus hit him with a lot, people with a lot of hard things. He said, well, let me go back to my family. If he asks you to move, move. The rich young ruler had a choice to make. Jesus said to put all his things down and receive him. Don't make the same mistake he did. Jesus, hands down, has more to give to your life than you, the devil, in this world could ever deliver. The best. You could have this entire world. Who's the prince and power of this world? Yeah, you'll never get more than that in this world. The devil has it. God allowed him to have it. But way more than Jesus Christ. It makes you think, how can people not trust Jesus? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pan is coming to play. What is God telling you to give up and give in to today? He makes no mistakes. Here's a man, God, the God-man. I can make no mistake. He can tell no lie. And all that he asks is what's best for us. Man, people want genies. We got Jesus Christ. We've got God the Father. He can give us everything. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His wonderful face. Thank you all for listening today. You know, we just get off. God knew we needed a church. I mean, a lot of it's just preaching the same things over and over. This won't be the last time this kind of message gets preached, because we wander off and we start doing the wrong things. And then we need, hey, reset yourself. Think about what's going on in your life. You know, get back over here. Hey, there's a time coming. It's coming soon, sooner than you think. And your life isn't that long, regardless. I think there's one up at the home now that's 103, maybe. 106. It's nothing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessed word. May it have done a work in our life today. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.